Have you ever asked yourself, quote, am I a victim of mind control, unquote? Have you ever seriously pondered on that question and told yourself the most truthful answer to that question? Have you considered that mind control must be involved when any Catholic cannot see and accept very obvious truths taught by any pope? Please seriously ponder, consider, and think over two important truths stated by Pope Pius XII. Quote of number one, the power of jurisdiction flows to the bishops only through the successor of St. Peter, unquote of Ad Sinarum Gentium, October 7, 1954. Two, quote, jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman Pontiff, unquote, from Ad Apostolorum Principis, June 29, 1958. What do these two truths tell you? Read them again and ask yourself, quote, what did Jesus Christ teach me as he spoke through Pope Pius XII, unquote. Next, ask yourself, quote, if I am not a victim of mind control, why do I believe the exact opposite of these two clear and definite statements of Jesus Christ speaking to me through the infallible Pope? Who controls my mind and makes me think? Quote, the power of jurisdiction does not flow to the bishops, to the successor of St. Peter, unquote. Also ask yourself, who controls my mind if I think that jurisdiction does not pass to bishops only through the Roman Pontiff? Please take note of the dates these from Rome. They were both given after Mystici Corpus Christi, June 29, 1943. Do you agree that it is impossible for the Pope, who is inspired by the Holy Ghost and who speaks to us for Jesus Christ, to ever teach the exact opposite of what he previously wrote in his dogmatic encyclical? Therefore, will you please overcome the mind control and accept the truth? Do you understand the truth that it is impossible for Pope Pius XII to be teaching in Mystici Corpus Christi that bishops receive ordinary jurisdiction directly from Jesus Christ and not from the Roman Pontiff? Do you agree that the two truths quoted from Ad Signorum Gentium and Ad Apostolorum Principis cannot possibly be different from what the Church has once understood and now understands? The First Vatican Council infallibly told us, quote, if anyone shall have said that there may ever be attributed to the doctrines proposed by the Church a sense which is different from the sense which the Church has once understood and now understands, let him be anathema. First Vatican Council, Dogmatic Constitution on the Catholic Faith, C4, Denziger's 1800, and quoting from that infallible Catholic First Vatican Council. Bishop Giles, you correctly wrote in your letter, quote, you have never met me nor Bishop Lewis, unquote. Although I have never visited your communities, I have heard an audio file made some years ago and now going around via the internet explaining Bishop Vizalis' involvement with mind control and use of hypnotism on his subjects. Yes, Anders caught up with Bishop Vizalis years ago, and still Anders in more recent years put out information concerning his involvement in hypnotism and mind control. Do you agree that it is the will of God that mind control be stopped and that you are in a key position to do something about it? Hence, it is in the immediate interest of the general public, as well as your own disciples, for you to stop participating in the sins of others, 1, by defense of the ill done, 2, by concealment, and 3, by silence. Bishop Giles, I think that you would agree that what goes on concerning the sacraments among you Franciscan clerics should all be in conformity with what the Catholic Church teaches. Therefore, do you agree that you should have nothing to hide in this regard, and be pleased if the whole world knows what you Franciscans are doing? It is known that you bishops and your priests attempt to give the sacrament of confession over the telephone to one another and to the faithful. Please let me know how this is approved in the Catholic Church. Where did you find it explained by any pope, catechism, or sacramental theology book that the Church approves of confession via the telephone? I found information on the World Wide Web where some of the inner modernists and some new breed priests practice telephone confessions. However, every place else that I have looked thus far in Catholic books all condemn confession via the telephone. The absolution is invalid, and the seal of confession is open to everyone who taps into and records phone conversations. In the Catholic Church, bishops and priests only have faculties to hear confessions in a specific diocese or a part of a specific diocese. Is it not true that you bishops and priests act as if you have universal jurisdiction, as if you were the Pope? I have been told that you clerics attempt telephone absolutions for others who are thousands of miles away. Just how do you justify having a worldwide diocese so that you assume to have jurisdiction no matter where you go and still provide telephone service? Every other traditionalist bishop that I know is just like you and Bishop Vizalis in this regard, acting as though you have worldwide diocese and universal jurisdiction. Therefore, why do you Franciscans claim that you are not traditionalists? Even if you had jurisdiction to hear confessions, this newly invented practice of telephone confession invalidates those absolutions. Bishop Giles, is the novel practice of telephone confession really just another mind control technique? Do you bishops use it for the purpose of discouraging your distant priests and disciples from thinking confessions should be received outside of your sect? Having now had this pointed out to you, Bishop Giles, will you make contact with those who received, quote, absolution, unquote, over the telephone, or just allow them to continue to believe they were absolved from their sins? Will you continue to participate in the sins of others? 1, by defense of the ill done. 2, by concealment. And 3, by silence. I pray to God that the kind readers of this letter will be put on guard concerning the many dangers that abound in the traditionalist movement. The Franciscan Foundation. Do you agree that there is much controversial history among the Franciscans under Father/Bishop Vizalis? For example, how is a priest professing loyalty to an anti-pope and the modernist Franciscan superior in Rome, could Bishop Vizalis start a Franciscan foundation in New York, major and minor seminaries, and the publication called The Seraph? In his article, Two Bishops in Every Garage, Reverend Anthony Shakata provides information about what happened. In the February 14, 1982, Bulletin of Father Vizalis' Sacred Heart Mission Buffalo, we read, quote, "For those who may not understand Catholic teaching and practice, Sacred Heart Mission has become a Franciscan foundation according to the laws of the Roman Catholic Church. We are Franciscans whose bishop is the Pope in Rome, nor are we an illegal religious organization without papal approval, such as the Pius X people. This mission is the only legitimate place where the Catholics in union with the Pope can attend the Latin Tridentine Mass," unquote, from Bishop Rosales and the Sacred Heart Mission in Buffalo, as quoted by Father Anthony Shikata. Did Father Rosales speak the entire truth, or did he speak as a Roman-colored politician when explaining his Franciscan Foundation in 1982? Do you agree that Father Rosales also claimed that he enjoyed tacit approval from his superiors in Rome to start his Franciscan Foundation? However, in the same article, Two Bishops in Every Garage, Reverend Anthony Shikata provides the following segment from the letter of Archbishop Augustine Mayer, Secretary of the Vatican Congregation for Religious, written on May 25, 1982, that states otherwise, quote, "Please forgive the delay in answering your query concerning Reverend Louis Rosales, OFM, but we have had to make inquiries concerning his status. We can now tell you that Father Rosales belonged to the Lithuanian Franciscan Vicariate of St. Casimir, but was expelled from the Franciscan Order on April 17, 1987. He does not recognize the jurisdiction of the local ordinary, but presents himself as a genuine Franciscan friar," unquote. Continuing now to quote from Reverend Anthony Shikata's article. "Obviously, the organization operated by Father Rosales is not recognized by the Holy See or the American hierarchy, and therefore there is no basis for calling it a Franciscan Foundation whose bishop is the Pope of Rome," unquote. Another letter quoted by Reverend Anthony Shikata is that of Father Louis Brennan, written on March 9, 1982, from Rome on behalf of the Franciscan Minister General, in which he states, quote, "Father Louis Rosales was a member of our Franciscan Order, in particular a member of our Lithuanian Vicariate, which has its center in Kennebunkport, Maine. By letter of April 19, 1978, the then superior of the Lithuanian Vicariate informed us that Father Rosales has been declared automatically dismissed from the order by decree of April 18, 1978, on grounds of removing himself from Franciscan jurisdiction. He is, then, no longer a member of our Franciscan order, nor are we in a position to answer for him," unquote. From this Father and from Reverend Anthony Shikata's article. Bishop Giles, do you agree that it is impossible to receive tacit approval from his Franciscan superiors if Father Rosales has been expelled from the order several years prior? Do you agree that it was deceitful and dishonest to publicly claim such approval and it was never given at that time, and that it is still deceitful and dishonest to claim approval today? Bishop Rosales has written in the Serum that he was sent to Korea by order of the Franciscan Superior General of Rome, and that this order has never been retracted. Here is what he wrote in the Serum, October 1998, volume 19, number 2. Quote, "As a religious, I received my mission from the highest authority in the Franciscan Order, and I continue in that mission because it has not been retracted by a legitimate higher authority. This mission is from God, although proceeding through the channel established by the Church guided by the Holy Ghost," unquote, from Bishop Rosales in that Serum. Did Father Rosales disobey his Franciscan superiors when he returned from Korea and began his own association of individuals for the dissemination of a new, separated part of the Novus Ordo religion in Rochester, New York? Should he still be in Korea, where he had been given his mission and jurisdiction? After all, he wrote, quote, "I continue in that mission because it has not been retracted by a legitimate higher authority," unquote. They are, but they are not. Bishop Giles, during our phone conversation, we discussed the validity of various traditionalist bishops and whether or not they have jurisdiction. During that phone conversation, you stated, quote, "The Supreme Pontiff is Jesus Christ," unquote. Then you then explained that you received ordinary jurisdiction the same way as a pope, that is to say, directly from Jesus Christ. I then asked your opinion concerning other bishops in the world and whether they have jurisdiction the same way that you and Bishop Rosales claim to have it. You told me that, yes, they did have jurisdiction the same way if they were properly ordained and consecrated. You also explained that because Cardinal Leonhardt was a Freemason, there are doubts about Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre's ordination and consecration. I then asked if Bishops Altenbach and Schiebert were valid bishops with jurisdiction, since they received their consecrations from Bishop George Musey, as did Bishop Rosales. You answered no, and then explained that Bishop Altenbach was a Fenianite because he denied baptism of desire and baptism of blood, and was therefore a heretic prior to his consecration. You then concluded that Bishop Musey placed himself outside the church for consecrating Bishop Altenbach. I also asked about Bishop Carmona and the other bishops he consecrated, such as Bishop Peveronis. You explained that Bishop Carmona sided with Bishop Musey, and that put him outside the church, since Bishop Musey consecrated Bishop Altenbach. Your conclusion was that Bishop Carmona became a heretic by association just because he worked with Bishop Musey, who himself became a heretic by associating because he worked with Bishop Altenbach. Did Bishop Peveronis become a heretic by association just because he was consecrated by and worked with Bishop Carmona? Now, the serious question I hope you will explain is something that was not discussed via the phone. Is everyone who associates with a Fenianite outside of the church? Bishop Giles, I now remind you that Bishop Rosales first appointed the same Fenianite, Father Altenbach, as his own vicar general before Bishop Musey consecrated him. In light of the fact that you believe Bishop Musey and Bishop Carmona were outside the church because they associated with Father Altenbach, why was Bishop Rosales not outside the church for associating with and appointing Father Altenbach as his vicar general? Furthermore, why are you not outside the church since Bishop Rosales consecrated you after he appointed a Fenianite as his vicar general? After all, your situation is very similar to that of Bishops Musey and Carmona, because you are also linked with one who became a heretic by your own law of association. Isn't it true that you continue to work and associate with Bishop Rosales, who appointed the Fenianite as his vicar general, Father Altenbach? Will you please explain why others are outside of the church for associating with a Fenianite, but you two bishops are not?